many Sahaba Ikram were wealthy. Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, what a wealthy Sahabi. Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala, what a wealthy Sahabi. Hazrat Zubair radiallahu ta'ala, who when he passed away, his inheritance totaled so many 100,000 dinars or dirhams that it took a long time just to make hisab kitab and distribute it amongst his wives and his children and so on. So owning wealth is no guna, it's no sin. This wali of Allah, he was extremely wealthy. Now this, he was living a life of comfort also, Allah had given him. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. The Quran says that display the ni'mat of Allah. If Allah has given you, there's no harm in driving the best car, there's no harm in wearing the best clothes, there's no harm in eating the best food, there's no harm in living in the best home. But make shukr to Allah and don't use that in His disobedience, and don't use it for name and fame and to show off and to compete with somebody that I got more of dunya and you got less of dunya. Then it is a wabal, and then it is a problem. My dear brothers, this person came and made a faisla. He looked at the outward condition and he said, this man, look at the house he's living in, look at the car, the conveyances that he's got, look at the food, look at the clothes. Can this be a wali of Allah? This is a misconception in the minds of many people. We believe that to be a wali of Allah, you must be some hermit in some mountain or some cave, and you have to be cut off from dunya, and you must have no connection with dunya, you must survive on the leaves of the trees, and basically drink some stream water, and you must be cut off from the makhluk, and you must have... This is not the concept in Islam. Sahaba ikram were the greatest awliya of this ummah. But they lived a normal life in the community, in the society. They had wives, they had children, they had business, they had many other occupations. Yet despite the fact they were the greatest awliya of this ummah, that all the walis of this ummah get together cannot equal the status of the lowest among the Sahaba ikiram. That is the aqidah of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. One person asked Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayhi Piran, a peer as he is called, the great wali of Allah of the time. Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani was asked the question that who is greater, O Shaykh, Umar bin Abdul Aziz or Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu? Remember, Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu is a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unfortunately, because of the Shia influence and the hatred that they had for the Sahaba ikram, they have written a very bad history about some of the Sahaba ikram. That history, throw it in the dustbin. That history is worthy of being chucked into the dustbin because it denigrates the status of a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is not worth the paper it is written on. So there were those Shia historians who denigrated some of the Sahaba ikram. One of the Sahaba who they maligned and denigrated very much was Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because of which even of some people in the Ahlul Sunnat wal Jama'at, their minds are not clean or their hearts are not clean with regard to this great Sahabi, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So this person asked the question that Umar bin Abdul Aziz, who is called the second Umar and the fifth Khalif after the four Khalifas, was he greater or was Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu greater? He's comparing a tabi'i to a sahabi. One person, a person who's one rank below the sahaba ikram. He's comparing a non-sahabi with a sahabi. What was the jawab and what was the reply? The jawab and the reply was, the dust that settled in the nostrils of the horse of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu when he was engaged in jihad with Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is superior than 100 Umar bin Abdul Aziz. Leave Muawiyah himself out. The dust that settled in the nostril of his horse is more superior than Umar bin Abdul Aziz. What are you talking of, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu? We cannot compare anybody after the Anbiya alayhimus salam in this makhluk under the sky with the Sahaba of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were indeed the greatest awliya of this ummah. But they had everything. So this idea that a wali must be somebody who must just wear torn and tattered clothes and he must wear sackcloth and he must have very little to eat and so on, that is not an Islamic concept.
A wali of Allah could be living right in our midst, with us day and night. We can't, maybe there are many awliya, we don't even recognize them. Allah Ta'ala hides his awliya in his makhluk and creation, that very few even recognize them. The few are recognized, the balance of them are not even recognized. And on the day of Qiyamah, then it will be made known, oh, this person, we thought he was just an ordinary person. He used to just be with us and we didn't even know what was his maqam and status. So nevertheless, this person went to see Khaja Ubaidullah Ahrar, Rahmatullah Ta'ala Alayh. And what did he find, my dear friends? He saw him living this life. And he turned back and he said, nah, this can't be a wali of Allah. He turned back and he went away. That night he saw a dream. And he saw the Maidan of Hashar. And he saw himself in a state of absolute terror and fear. Because he looked at his book of deeds and he had equal amount of good deeds and equal amount of bad deeds. And he was thinking, where am I going to? He was going from person to person. Please just give me one or two nekis. And everybody was flatly refusing him. No, 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 no. That is something we can't. Here in this world we might even give somebody a few rands if they are desperate. There for nekis every person will be holding tight. Nobody will want to share his good deeds. And he was desperately looking around. Suddenly he sees a chariot is going past. In the back of that chariot there is a person sitting with great honor and izzat. And that chariot has been pulled by some conveyance. And he sees in the back of the chariot, in the back of that cart, they are sitting Khaja Ubaidullah Ahrar, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. And he says, this is indeed some great personality. He recognizes him. And then he goes to him and he says, Hazrat, give me some nekis, I'm desperate. Hazrat says, take the nekis, how much you want? He gets up and he makes tawbah. See, these are sincere people. They made a mistake. Allah Ta'ala brings it back to their attention very quickly. He goes back now and he goes to the door of Khaja Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi and he goes to meet him and Khaja Sahab says that you have to see the dream to come back. These are those awliya on that level, my dear friends. Then he says to him that remember, it is not the zahiri dunya of a person. If a person has got dunya, but it is for Allah, then that dunya is not dunya anymore, it is deen. Then this person makes tawbah and he takes bath at the hand of this great wali of Allah, Khaja Ubaidullah Ahrar, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. So my dear brothers, coming back to the subject, inshallah ta'ala, we will conclude shortly. Every mu'min is successful. Even the gunegar mu'min is successful. Even that mu'min who has to go to the fire of Jahannam, he is also successful, but his success is temporary and limited. It is not the kamil, complete, total success that is required for a mu'min. My dear friends, we find that now, on the day of Qiyamah, there will be certain people who will go to the fire of Jahannam. The gunegar, the sinners. And it is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif to such an extent, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, that I even know the last person who will come out of Jannat, out of Jahannam. The last person will come out of Jahannam and who will enter into Jannat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam described his halat and condition, that he will be a person for a long time, for a long, long time, he will burn in the fire of Jahannam. Until he will turn black, completely black, with that blazing fire of Jahannam. And that to the mu'mineen, they will be on the upper level of Jahannam. وَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمَوْعِدُهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ لَهَا سَبْعَةُ أَبْوَابٍ لِكُلِّ بَابٍ مِّنْهُمْ جُزْءٌ مَّقْسُومٌ. There are seven levels or stages of the fire of Jahannam. The lower stage of the fire of Jahannam. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُمْ نَصِيرًا. The lower stage of the fire of Jahannam will be for the munafiqs and the hypocrites. The Jews will be on the third level, Christians on the fourth level, Mushrikeen on the fifth level, and so on. Different people, the upper level will be
for the sinners of the Ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The last person will come out, and when Allah Ta'ala will take him out eventually after many, many years of suffering in the fire of Jahannam, he will cry and he will plead, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, take me out from this fire. I cannot take this azab anymore. I can't stand this punishment anymore. After crying for a long time, Allah Ta'ala will say, Oh my servant, are you sure all you want, I must take you out of the azab, out of this fire and nothing else? He will say, Allah, I don't want nothing else. Nothing, nothing, nothing. All I want, just take me out of this fire. That's all. Allah Ta'ala will say, you sure you're not going to ask for anything else? He'll say, Ya Allah, nothing else. So Allah Ta'ala will finally take him out from the fire of Jahannam. And he will be outside the fire of Jahannam. And he will now calm down after going through all that azab and all that suffering and all that pain and everything. And he will be lying there outside of the fire of Jahannam. And as he will be lying there, suddenly he will see that there is a stream of water that is flowing. And he will look towards the stream of water and he will think, oh, if only I could have washed myself in that water. I am so filthy, I am so dirty, I am burnt black. If only I could have just washed myself in that water, then how nice it would have been. My dear friends, after a long time he will hesitate, then he will say, Oh Allah. Allah will say, what now? Oh Allah, one request. Just if you could allow me to go in that stream of water. Then Allah will say, but you said there's nothing else you want. Now you're asking for this. He will say, Oh Allah, just a little bit, I just want to go in that stream of water. Because look at my condition, how I am. And Allah will say, you sure you're not going to ask for anything else more? And he will say, Oh Allah, nothing else, that's all I want. Nothing more than that, just so that I can go into the water. So we find, my dear brothers, Allah Ta'ala will say, okay, you're not going to ask anything more? No, nothing more. Okay, allow him. He will go into that water. It is said that river is called Nahrul Hayat, the river of life. When he will go into that river, all that burns and everything will get washed out. His old flesh and skin will be gone and it will be replaced now with new flesh and new skin. And he will enjoy himself in the cool water after having gone through all that azab and punishment and everything. Now, my dear friends, while he will be enjoying himself splashing in that water of that stream of hayat, now he will suddenly hear laughter and pleasant noises and sounds and people enjoying themselves. And he will look up and he will see Allahu Akbar. What he will see? He will see the people of Jannat enjoying the blessings of Jannat.